know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. Seven knife and Halloween.
Yo, man, we back. 7-9th and Hallis, episode 226. First 7-9th and Hallis of the new season. We doing this live, in the words of who's that who said we gonna do this live? Was that Bill O'Reilly?
It's Bill O'Reilly. He said we'll do it live.
I don't know what you got in the background, but you need to turn that off.
It's my AC, it's hot.
Yes, we need to turn it off, dog. Yeah, so we here, man. It's a three-man show today. No video today because I have no light. Well, I have light. I just don't feel like moving this whole thing to the other side of the room. And I've been drinking for a little bit, and I'm honestly not in a good mood. But we've got the homie Mikey from I'm Not Gonna Hold You in the house. Mikey, what's going on, bro?
Shit, man. Wish we was about to talk about something different.
Exactly, man. Exactly. Bears dropped their first game of the season in ridiculous fashion. 38-20 at home against the hated Green Bay Packers. Now, I've been covering this team. This is my second full season. This is my third season in general covering this team. I have gone to every post-game press conference since. I couldn't handle it today. I left. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it today. It was just a ridiculous performance on all levels to the point where I don't think anybody's exempt. I'm personally at the point where it's like I put in a group chat today. And I know Mike gonna be on me all season. I don't want to hit your media side. I want to hit your fan side. Like I just said, I can't be mad at them anymore because this is just who they are. I was irritated. I was disgusted. But it's just like until something changes, I'm gonna have to treat these niggas like I treat the Bears, not the Bears, but the Bulls and the White Sox. And I don't want to do that. Like it's been so much hype coming into this year. And it was just bad. Like that is one of the worst losses I've seen to the Packers, and that's saying a lot because we have almost three decades worth of terrible losses to choose from. And this is a team we lost to like 56-3, like 10 years ago on Sunday Night Football, and I felt like this is a worse showing than that. I don't really know what to feel about the direction of the team. This is why I've said all really since Ryan Poles got hired. I said after the Ryan Pace thing, we need to stop crowning GMs until this shown on the field. And I feel like today was a perfect example of it. They got outcoached. I don't know what guess he was calling. It was some of the most egregious stuff. Like it was so bad. It made Matt Nagy look like Marty Schottenheimer. Like it was that bad, bro. Like, and to the point where the thing I feel about Justin, I can't get mad at anybody's take on Justin because it's like, I don't think today was his fault, but I don't think the boy was good. I don't think nothing about his performance was good. I just feel like there's stuff he needs to be doing that despite what Getsy or whoever's calling needs to be better. And I just don't know what to feel about him. The defense was terrible. Secondary was terrible. Allen Williams, terrible. If you were going to be dinking and dunking all night and doing screens, you could have kept Equanimeous St. Brown active. If you was going to do all of that, DJ Moore, two targets. You traded.
This nigga wasn't open either. That's
what I'm saying. Yeah, he wasn't open. He wasn't open.
Jair had him on an island.
Okay. Well, y'all, that's a good call. I was about to ask if y'all think he locked up or it just wasn't targets.
He was locked up.
Because he had two plays that I felt like was part of the energizing that led to, well, it should have led to a touchdown. But to me, this game fell off the wheels in the first drive. 3rd and 1. That Cole Kmet play, what was that? 4th and 1, what was that? And I feel like they never really recovered. Even the touchdown play, that was an audible call by Justin. That was something that Justin saw on the defense and said, oh, I need to go do this, man. So I was just disappointed. Front to back, this is the most demoralized I've been after one loss, maybe ever. Like, you know, even in 2018, when they had like the 18 point lead over Green Bay, and then Rodgers came back and knocked out. Like, I wasn't as disappointed.
He was all high and shit. He was all coked out.
Yeah, I wasn't as disappointed as I am now. Not that I had too high expectations. I know there's 16 more games left, but you're teetering on very dangerous territory if you don't beat Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers next week. So, Joe, what's your take on the thing?
I think we all got to relax. We got to slow down for a second. One, this is not the most demoralizing week one loss ever. It's just not true, because there have been plenty of more times that we've been demoralized, and this just isn't one of them. You know, my ultimate take on this is I don't think Luke Getz is good. I've seen enough tape on him to say he's not a guy, and it needs to change. With, you know, more drastic than that is when I look at the Bears' record. The Bears haven't beat the Packers since 2018. Before that, 2015. Before that, 2013. Before that, 2010. And then you get back to the Love year when it was majority Bears winning, but the Packers got some win. Even when Lovey was beating up on the Packers still had wins in there. And unfortunately, in the last, 13 years, the Bears have 3 wins against the Packers.
They are 11-30 since 2003 against this team.
You know what I'm saying? That's ridiculous. It's just something that should not happen at all. You know what I'm saying? It's cool when you're Michigan and you're getting beat up by the Buckeyes, or you have a couple years like, oh, okay, we're beating the Buckeyes now. We just swept them last season. That's great. Last 20 years was just you getting demolished. This college football is different. It's all about recruitment. You understand it. But a professional NFL team, you can't beat a team that you play the most? That's just unacceptable. And when I look at the play caller, the defensive play caller, it's unacceptable. You can't sit in cover two that long. You remember the whole fiasco with cover two a decade ago, and the Bears were finally getting out the 4-3. They're going to the 3-4 because cover two sucks. Cover two has its place. If I'm in the red zone, cover two is amazing because it's such a shrinking field. If I'm in the 10-yard line, cover two is almost impossible to beat. But when I'm at the 25-yard line of my opponent and I'm sitting in cover two, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to either beat you from the seams, or they're just going to run through you. And the Bears have not understood that concept of adjusting. And it's unfortunate because it's almost like the Bears are cursed, because it doesn't matter who's the coach, who's the GM, who's the quarterback. It's we can't get it done. And yes, Justin, he sucked. I'm just going to be straight up honest with you. There's no reason for me to baby him. He's a Buckeye, and all of that Buckeye's wealth, like, you know, goodness or when I'm going to show him, like, I'm going to say he's a Buckeye, so I'm going to give him a break. That's all gone. I don't care about that anymore. He sucked today. He just sucked. The first quarter, I was like, he did what he had to do. There was nothing there. The Bears, every single route was medium, so he took the underneath perfectly fine. Nothing wrong with that. I was cool with that. It was a good decision making. From then on, it's like, make some tight passes. Take some risky throws. The only risky throw you had was a pick. Okay. Oh, well, try again. With that being said, then you have Luke Getsy. You're running a tight end screen is something you need to run, not when it's the most obvious. When it's 3rd and 10, 3rd and 12, I wouldn't run a screen. Why? Because they're going to guard the line, which means you're going to have a lot of people at the flats, or you're going to have a lot of people stocked up in the middle to get those underneath routes or to get those medium 8-yard pickups. That's just what happens. So what do you have to start doing? Maybe some high-low concepts. You have some players that who are going to leak into the inside and have some going to the outside. Like, just simple things that the Bears don't get done. And it makes me wonder, is running a football team rocket science?
That's what it feels like.
The Bears make it seem like it's rocket science, and it's getting annoying. But I think at the top of all of this, it is Matt Eberflus's fault. It's Matt Eberflus. You brought in these people. You kept Getsy around. You brought in Allen Williams. Allen Williams stinks. Like, sure, yes, you know, you don't have the right person there, but you brought in all these linebackers. You have a great secondary. You brought in two people on your defensive line. This is your fault. If you're not getting pressure with your front four, send another person. If you don't work, send another person. There's always a counter to everything in football. There's always a counter. When you don't get pressure, to blitz. It's just as simple as
they
that.
They refuse to. They refuse to blitz. They literally refuse to fucking blitz.
And the thing
The
thing is that most teams will always struggle to always constantly get pressure with your front four. Yep. And if they can't get it done, what do? You send people. You might be surprised in one play and have a cornerback leak off his man and blitz. It happens. That's a part of the game. But for some reason, we're sitting in a vanilla defense, and we're sitting in a shell defense. I don't want to say shell like that, but just base defense that is not adjusting. It just doesn't work like that. And I would give it one drive and say, well, they're holding up our defensive line. So you know what? I'm going to start sending Jack Sanborn every play because clearly this isn't working. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's that lack of understanding that is just ridiculous to me. And with Getsy, they know your play calling. You were there before. So if they know your play calling, what is it time to do? It's time to switch it up. The only thing they adapted to was Roschon Johnson. It was, oh, clearly Roschon can play. Put him in the game.
Yeah.
Put him in the game. But we knew Roschon could play eons ago. But John Robinson told you how good Roschon was. Roschon would have been
any program in the nation. Literally. In any Power 5 schools, he would have been a starting running back.
Literally. Literally.
Outside of Bama with Jahmyr Gibbs and outside of Texas where he was at. Outside of that, he's a number one running back on literally every single fucking school.
If I look at even the Buckeyes, you got mine and you got freaking mm-hmm. Trevion Henderson. He's starting over both of them.
100%.
He's starting 100%. Over both of them. So you know how good he is, and you think, you know what? We're not going to use him. And then you start saying, oh, he can ball? All right, put him in. What are we doing? Football is just not that hard, bro. It's not that hard. It is not that hard. It is a ball of leather. What do you have to do? Move it down the field. They're stopping your run, you pass. They're stopping your pass, you run. They're stopping both, you switch it up and get creative. It is as simple as that. And most importantly, when it comes to Justin Fields, I don't care about interceptions. Every quarterback today, not named Brock Purdy or Jordan Love, threw an interception.
Okay. Yeah.
Every single one of them looked terrible. Literally, the only quarterback who I thought just looked outstanding was Brock Purdy. There was even times when
Trevor Lawrence didn't even look outstanding. He looked good for a minute.
Jordan Love didn't look outstanding. Yeah. Jordan Love had, you know what?
Jordan Love was throwing BLTs all up and down the field. That's what had me hot.
He did not look good. He did not look good. There was nothing he did that made me feel like, oh, fuck, they got another one.
Literally. Like, I joked and said, oh, man, if they have three QBs the last 30 years and we have none, it's a joke. Because he's not that guy. He's not that guy. 2 years from now, they'll be looking for another person. It's just the truth. Either by the end of the offseason, if they somehow end up with a better pick, I would be picking another quarterback. This is one of the most deep quarterback drafts ever. If I was the Packers, I would still pick another quarterback.
Well, they told you that with the contract that they signed him to. Literally. He got some money, but if you look at the contract, it was actually cheaper than, you know, franchising them. They got her out, you know, as well. Like, they told you with that, and that's somebody that's been in the building for 3 years. Yep. I feel you. I feel you, Flo. Today was a disgrace, man. Today was just an utter disgrace. It felt like week 19 of the 2022 season. It felt like a continuation of last season.
It literally was. It's not the worst loss. I want to keep people, you know, people saying, all you, Scott, this is one of the worst losses. There are worse.
But that's the problem.
Two games before that, you lost by the same amount of points. So the game before that, the last close game, meaning a touchdown or less for them, 2019, and you lost by 8.
Are you talking about against the Packers or just
before that, 2019, you lost by 7. So basically, pretty much Nagy was the only time, early Nagy was the only time you had a close game. Because before that, these games were not really close. So no, there have been worse losses. And this does not have me, I'm not demoralized, but it makes me think to my point that you probably should have played every single preseason game.
And that's perfect segue to Mikey. Mikey, what you think feel about this, dog?
I've been saying it. I've been saying it, and it sucks that they're treating September like the preseason. But this whole summer, I've been telling you, Scott, preseason matters. Practice matters. There's not a professional sport that we watch more than football that is built on timing. You know what I'm saying? More than football. It's all about timing. It's all about repetition. If you're on the O-line, it's all about, developing that camaraderie with the men on the offensive line, the person next to you, knowing their tendencies, knowing when you got to pick up the slack for the next man. And it showed. I mean, Nate Davis, all summer I've been hearing, don't worry about Nate Davis. He'll be there as long as
doodle
he's
butter.
He's ass. Like,
he's getting
like
blown up, dog.
At some point, we got to just stop shooting them bail and being like chill and just realize it for what it is. You know, they're showing us what they thought. Justin, you know, we're going to get on Justin because Justin is always going to be the topic. But there was no offensive rhythm. I am confident in saying this right now on September 10th in week 1 of the new season. The Chase Claypool trade was an L. It's just an L.
Yeah,
just cut your losses. Just cut your losses at this point. He looks like somebody who doesn't want to be out there. He doesn't want to block. He doesn't want to catch. He consistently still, you could see Justin on the television. You see Justin telling him, no, get on the other side. Like, he just cut your losses. But the issue with that is you got somebody like Nate Davis, too, that you've given this whole summer of leeway to, who doesn't want to fucking practice, and then he gets on the field. And listen, Braxton Jones was a turnstile out there. He was very bad. I think for the most part, Darnell Wright held himself up pretty well. He's probably going to grade out at like about
90%. He looked like one of the best linemen, and he just got there.
100%.
That's a problem.
100%. Mind you, that was a veteran next to him at right guard. You know, there was a report that Mike Vrabel, I think it was verbatim, they said that he hates Nate Davis. And it was that I think Bill Zimmerman had brought it up, but it was he hates Nate Davis because of his practice habits, because of there's a reason why Nate Davis was the best offensive lineman for the Titans last year, and they let him go. You know, so it was just a disgrace overall.
I don't know the one man's trash mentality from NFL teams. Not to cut you off, Mike. I don't understand the one man's trash mentality. Is like it doesn't work in football. It's the same with like Derek Carr in New Orleans. He sucked it up in Oakland and Las Vegas. He won't be good here. It's the same with Nate Davis. If they got rid of him, it's for a reason. Maybe you should move on. Sorry.
100%. You know, and it's just discouraging. It was just a disgrace and discouraging. That's the only way that I could really describe it watching it. Like, I've never felt more like defeated watching, you know, waiting on summer to watch a game. Yeah, and just be like, man, like this, they just look like an outfit that is going through the motions. Defensively, you know, Eddie Jackson, you know, on that first touchdown, like you have to stay inside. You cannot let Romeo Doubs get inside on you. Like that was, and they showed it from the aerial view, and Greg Olsen pulled out the highlighter, but Tremaine Edmonds went to the corner. That was his spot. Eddie Jackson needed to stay in the middle, and he did it, and he got beat. And you know, from Luke Getsy to Alan Williams to, you know, I've been questioning Matt Eberflus this whole time. You know, if you're supposed to be a defensive minded head coach, this team doesn't even resemble like a top 20 defense. You know what I'm saying? Like they're 25 and lower or higher, however they call it. They're inching more towards one of the worst defenses. I watched every game today. At some capacity, the Bears were the least prepared, and they looked the worst out of everybody. They looked like a team that just had the number one pick.
Yeah, I think, like, to me, why it was so demoralizing, and you're right, Joe, a lot of this is, like, you know, instant reaction, how we feel at the moment. And you was going through the motions, too. You just came down, like, the last couple minutes.
Oh, no. I spent that first 10 minutes after the game just being angry. Because I'm not really used to that with most of my sports teams. Like, think about the Bulls. Was there ever a period where one team just beat us up for 20 years?
What, like, not really. Like,
and then we got three wins over the last
The Bulls years. Have beat LeBron more than the Bears have beat the Packers.
The Bulls have beat LeBron more than this. With the White Sox. I remember Twins beating us. But I also remember us beating the Twins. I remember having several competitive games. I remember those times. With the Blackhawks, I can remember a time where one team, well, I do remember a few Detroit games where the Blackhawks were unfortunate. But I remember plenty of times when we beat up Detroit. Plenty of times. With the Bears, I don't remember a time when we beat up on the Packers. Every one of our teams, every single one, there have been ups and downs, back and forth. But there's never been such a one-sided beating like this. It's just
the last win that when we won the NFC North, when we had that win at home with Mitch, that wasn't like a dominating win. Like, we needed a late pick, a late Eddie Jackson pick. I don't know if y'all remember that. We needed a late Eddie Jackson 17. Pick.
Yeah.
We needed a late Eddie Jackson pick in which he got hurt, you know, on that very last play. We needed that, you know, to stop them from winning. So, no, I agree. Like, it hasn't been anything in dominating fashion. We haven't done anything dominating in so many years. It's crazy.
Like, literally, and I'm looking at this stat line and against the game you were talking about, and it wasn't even that impressive. Impressive. So, you know,
it looks eerily similar to what we saw today.
But what I can say is, I hope people understand that, though, yes, we'll get on Justin later, there is a big problem with the play calling in Chicago. And I don't, this team will not get better. Justin could get better, and Justin can do fine, just could have a good season, and we'd be like, oh, well, Justin's not the problem. But the team won't move unless that play calling change. I just watched the Matt Nagy Chiefs on Thursday.
They looked better than this.
It was terrible for the Matt Nagy Chiefs. It looked bad for the Matt Nagy Chiefs. I'm like, man, what's happening with Patrick Mahomes? He realized, oh, it's not Patrick Mahomes. These play calls suck. Great play calling. I mean, terrible play calling can ruin even the best players. And when you have someone like Justin Fields, who isn't at that level, who's not even – you can't even call him good yet. You have to make sure that play calling gets him to that
next level. I think
– hold on, nigga. You got to make sure that play calling gets him to that next level. I love to cut people off. Like, I was –
I do. I don't do it on purpose.
Conversation. You're like, well, I just thought about this thing. You have to make sure that play calling gets them from the will show improve to the good level. He's not there yet. So your play calling has to be generous. One of the greatest examples of play calling I saw today were surprisingly the Colts. They said, you know what? We have Anthony Richardson. Let's run the ball a lot more. However, they probably would have won the game with Jonathan Taylor. Ursay is an idiot. But they said, you know what? Let's run the ball. Let's do something simple. And it wasn't just we're going to throw screens. It's simplistic things. You know, let's do a curl route here. Let's do a corner route. You know what? We see him going, let's do an arrow route. It's just very simple things. You don't have to baby Justin like that, but every single quarterback and every single play ever needs to have favorable play calling. This was one of the worst play call games I've ever seen. Like, that Darnell Mooney touchdown was in spite of Luke Getsy. It was in spite of Luke Getsy. That freaking Roshan Johnson, about to do it again, nigga. That Roshan Johnson touchdown was in spite of Luke Getsy. It was Justin and Roshan saying, wow, nothing's happened. No one's open. I'm going to throw it to you, Roshan. Do it. That diving touchdown was a touchdown. I don't care what the ref said. I wish it was. That way it could stat pad Justin's line. But that entire thing was in spite of Luke Getsy. And if you're the person who is standing in the way of the people who are actually on the field, if I was like a GM, I would have such a short lease with you. If I saw this by week five, I'd fire you. Like, that's how serious it is with me. And if by week five I don't see an improvement from Getsy, you should literally fire him. If I don't see an improvement from Alan Williams, I would fire him. That's how serious it is. You had seasons under this. It's time to improve. It's time to improve. Because one thing, players get better before coordinators get better. It takes coordinators and coaches years to get better. Like, who are we talking about? Like, we're talking about Andy Reid with the Chiefs. How many years did we deal with the fact that, man, Andy Reid is a terrible play caller? Or Andy Reid be calling some terrible games when it matters the most? We did that for such a long time with Andy Reid. It took decades for Andy Reid to say, you know what? Maybe I was tweaking. I'm going to switch some things up. So it takes a lot longer for play callers to get better than it does for players. And so right now I don't have much hope in that play calling getting any better. Defensive or offensive?
I have a question for both of y'all, and it's kind of like a two-part. One, how do we think, like, because you're right about what you said about offensive coordinators. Like, sometimes it takes years for them to shake their bad habits, if they ever do shake their bad habits. So how did the Bears go from here? Like, you got 16 more games. I can't deal with 16 more games of slants and screen passes. We can't do all that. And I personally don't know how to feel. What is that?
Saquon walking to the sidelines.
Like, I don't know how to feel about Justin either. I think that's like, I feel like I'd have felt better if he was just straight up huff. Like, then I'm like, okay.
Literally. Wow, that's so perfectly said.
Yeah. Like, because then it's like, okay, he just sucked. Like, I don't know how to grade this. Like, he wasn't, I don't blame him for the loss, but the nigga wasn't good. He was not good. There was times where, and Mikey, we've been talking about this in the group chat for weeks, his timing. There was sometimes I feel like he was looking at wide receivers dead in their face before throwing the ball. And it's like, let it go. Like, even on the pick, he held it too long. So it's like, where, like, y'all made up the good observation of saying DJ Moore was locked up. I really wasn't paying attention to that. So was it just where wide receivers locked up? Was it Justin just doesn't know how to get the ball out? Like, how should we feel about Justin and how this can change? Because if they lose next week, to the Buccaneers, this is going to go dark. And we might be looking at Caleb Williams' film because they're going to get
– I'm already looking at Caleb Williams' film. What you
doing? I've been. Bro, that shit is right next to X videos on my most search.
Hilarious.
but to be honest, going to do this defense in 2 weeks. It's about to be biblical.
Oh, yeah, it's Well, I will say, it's going to be bad. You better hope that Matt Nagy stands in the way. That's the only prayer. Pray that Matt Nagy gets the bozo gene activated. Because if
he's calling a perfect game that day.
No, for sure.
That'd be Pete Bears. That is so Bears. That's peak Chicago sports, and I hate it. It's almost so. I pray to God sometimes. I think, did you curse us? Did you do this? Did you say, you know what? You bro, all got sweetness. You got Michael Jordan. That's enough.
He gonna be looking That's like enough. Mike Holmgren era, like Green Bay Packers era Mike Holmgren.
But when it comes to Justin, you said it perfectly. I wish he just had 4 of 25, 7 yards, 3 picks. And I'm like, that nigga stinks. Get a new QB. But I look at his stat, and I'm like, he completed most of his passes. He made some solid adjustments. But then he also threw a bozo pick. Then he also had some timing. And it's just that, that's literally what his stat line was today. It's a continuation last year. It's like, And how long do you wait before you say it's time to move on? I was talking to my boy Steve. Steve has been on the here since the beginning.
Shout out to Steve.
Who has been on since the beginning. And he said that the biggest thing is if after week 4, I don't see change, I am starting to look at another QB.
Oh, 100%.
And in 100%. This NFL draft in 2024, there are going to be a lot of QBs. A lot of QBs. The Bears proceed down this path, they will be in line for it. And the Panthers aren't going to be good. So, you know, that's going to be a high pick. So my main thought and my main concern with Justin is timing. That is my main concern. He has the arm strength. He has the calmness in the pocket. But he does not excel at timing throws. The Darnell Mooney touchdown. He noticed, he's about to beat him. I'm throwing it. But you need to just not care. You need to have the attitude like, you know what? I'm going to trust him to get it. He doesn't get it. Oh, well. This is what your counterpart Trevor Lawrence is doing. Timing throws. 100%. Trevor Lawrence has been masterful at timing throws. Masterful. When he had that one where he escaped out of the pocket and moved to his left and threw to Calvin Ridley sitting in the end zone, he was like, oh, I see him stop there. I'm throwing it. And when the time he got to Calvin Ridley, it was literally unguarded. You have to constantly do that. And I have not seen Justin master the timing throws. It's like he does not want to throw them. Or that he thinks, you know what? I'm back in freaking the shoe. I've got Olave and I've got Gary Wilson here. I'm finna just throw. I got Jackson Smith and Jigba. You don't anymore. You have to start trusting these receivers to make plays, which is boom. One step drop, Reeves not here, Reeves not here. I'm throwing to a spot. Literally. It can't be, I think you're there. Because by the time you throw it, if you literally were able to look at the game from every single angle possible, when you're about to throw it, if he's open, he won't be open when the ball gets there. Right. That's what a timing throw is all about. He ain't there yet, but I'm going to trust that he'll get there. That's one of the greatest things that Peyton Manning was great at, was they're not there, but I'm going to put it there. And you have to hope and expect that they'll make a play. Put it in a spot. Put it on an area of grass that it will be and place it there. Let them make a play. It's like if you have a cornerback who is giving up the outside but covering the inside and your wide receiver is running a post route. You're going to say, you know what? I'm going to have to throw the ball with a little bit of touch because if I don't, he'll bat it down. I can't throw a dart because I throw a dart, he could pick it off. I'm going to throw a little bit of touch and lead him a little bit on an angle. That way he'll catch it. That is what timing throws are. And Justin hasn't mastered that. And if he doesn't master that, which is, it's not a hard thing to do because it involves saying, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to do it. But if I don't see any of that the next 4 weeks, I'm literally look at someone else in the draft because there are a lot of people respect to Justin, nigga, go play in China.
But that's that's kind of like what I texted you earlier when we were talking, Flows. I said, I'm trying to understand the reluctancy and the resistance from the Bears, and this is going on 2 seasons now, right? The reluctancy to throw the ball downfield, is that because they do not believe Justin has the capability to do it? Is that because they believe they don't have the personnel to do it? And if that is the case, then shame on you, Ryan Poles, and the entire staff, because we already sacrificed him last year. You know what I'm saying? This was your year in the draft where you went and you used a top 10 pick to get an offensive lineman. You went and spent money on the position. I'm trying to figure it out. And more as you listen to the press conferences and you read all these different publications and you see how they want to play to his strengths, I'm thinking this is what they've settled on the short, quick game. On these, this is what they think this is what his strength is. They don't think that him throwing downfield and sitting and being in the pocket is his game. And if that's the case, then yeah, then they should be looking for another quarterback. You know, and it sucks because, you know, I love Justin Fields too. Like, I love the idea of him in this offense because he's everything you want in the modern day quarterback. He has size. He has ridiculous strength. He has ridiculous arm talent. He has arm talent. That throw he made to Mooney when he was running to his right, kind of little pump fake, and then on a rope off one foot. Like, that's the shit you want to see, but you don't see enough of it. And, you know, we're going on – this was – 28 starts, right? He's got 28 starts. He's 6-22. I don't attach quarterback. I don't attach record to a quarterback because there's a lot of revolving parts in football around that. But his numbers are what they are, and he's kind of looking like the Black Mitchell Trubisky. At this point, you're not wrong.
24 touchdowns 1 year.
Mitch actually looked better in 2018.
Mitch had a winning season. Oh, Mitch was a Pro Bowler.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying, but I mean from the ebbs and flows of what we get every weekend from it. You don't know what you're gonna get. He might. I had tweeted it earlier, and I felt bad, and I kind of deleted it. But we were losing by 24, and even in a blowout where the script it's a negative game script and it calls for throwing the ball, he still couldn't get to 200 yards until under the 200. Like, that is insane. Look around the league. Tua, and granted, I know what Tua has.
It was like 500.
He had 250 at halftime. Anthony Richardson was making his first career start. He had put up by like 245.
And he was a bum in college. Terrible.
Bryce threw two picks, but Bryce had better passes today than I saw Justin really throw all game.
I think it's just more.
You were better than CJ Stroud, Justin. Another Buckeye QB. Clearly, we can't develop you all in the NFL. And what everybody says about my team is true. Them niggas suck in the league.
Yeah, you know, it's just it's disheartening. And like you said, Scott, this I fuck the bullshit. This is a must win game Sunday against the Bucks because 0-3 in the NFL is a dark place.
I'm glad we know that Chiefs game is a loss.
Yeah,
100%. That is when people start getting the, I need your coffee mug, I need your keys, I need your parking pass, and I need your access card. You're fired. You're no longer allowed in Hallis Hall. Let's just call it what it is. This team has not won a fucking game since October 24th in Foxborough.
Yeah, man.
We're going on a full calendar year. You cannot, and the Bucks look tough, and they're going to go up against Vita Vea, and they're going to go up against a very tough defensive line, and they're going with it. There's a quarterback on that other side of Baker Mayfield who clearly doesn't give a fuck. He openly said this year, hey, this might be my last crack at starting. So he does not give a fuck.
Yeah,
He don't care. He put his shoulder down to get a first down. Knowing that, you know what? This is my throwing shoulder. I could mess 100%. It up. I don't care. That's one of the most dangerous people on earth.
Yeah, exactly. A motherfucker who doesn't care. And I'm gonna be honest with you. Right now, it is what is it? It's 10 o'clock where I'm at, bro. It is 88 degrees outside, right? So come one o'clock on Monday up in Tampa, or a Sunday, it is gonna be about 96 degrees with a ridiculous humidity. We already know that Justin is susceptible to cramping. They gotta start getting IVs in these guys and on a hydration plan, like starting tonight.
Now, aren't they going to Florida early this week?
No,
didn't you say that?
No,
I don't think they are.
Okay, well, yeah,
I have to look at the media schedule again, but I don't. I don't see that.
Yeah, that those games for teams that are coming down here. I went to the Bears Dolphins game a couple years ago.
Yeah, no, they're gonna be here Wednesday, PNC Center. They'll be here up until Friday.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah. For a defense that basically as a whole they were about almost 80% incomplete with Tremaine Edmonds being out, Jaquan Brisker being out, Eddie Jackson being out. You had people out at various different times. You got Nate Davis who's been out. So now we're about to throw them out there in Tampa and go play 70-80 plays at 90 something degrees, 100 degree humidity, and go figure it out. you know, with your backs against the wall. Like, now we're going to see what they're made of. But this is shaping up to be a must-win game. 1-1 is fine. You can come back from 1-1.
Yeah.
0-3 is a death sentence, and not just in terms of playoffs and standing. As a culture, this team has to learn how to fucking win under this new regime. And that is something that they haven't done since October 24th of last year. So it's like how we like to say spooky hours. It's getting very spooky up in Hallis Hall, and they have to do some real, real soul searching. Justin Fields had 4 passes past 10 yards today. That is unacceptable.
Yeah. The funny thing is, coming from someone last year who had an excellent completion percentage on deep passes. Like, Justin got a lot of them. I'm throwing it up. And it's a two sides to this. Someone who checks down is reading the defense. Jason Campbell, who is, I don't know anybody who checked down more than Jason Campbell in history of the NFL. He might be the greatest check down person of all time. But even in his check downness, he still said, you know what? My first and my second option to open, I'm going to check it down. Justin did not do that last year efficiently. He did not check down often. He was literally, I'm going to try. I'm going to force it in there. So I am glad on one hand he's checking down. But on the other hand, start going. Start making your concept and start throwing it there. And the crazy thing is, I've seen him do it. I've seen him do it a few times. Justin would be so much more disheartening than Mitchell. No, he won't. Justin would be, because we could have drafted Mahomes. But Justin would be so much disheartening as a player than Mitchell Trubisky, because unlike Mitch, I've seen every tool available to Justin Fields. I've seen every tool available. I've seen the leadership. I've seen the accuracy. I've seen the deep ball skills. I've seen the placement. I've seen the timing. I've seen his rushing ability. I've seen his calmness in the pocket. I've seen him do all of those things. Every single thing I've seen him do for the Bears. You need to replicate it. But it also makes me think about Andy Dalton and when he was with the Bears, and how it was rough for Andy Dalton to throw downfield. Then last year he goes to another team and it's like, you know what? I don't struggle throwing downfield anymore. I can throw downfield now. And so I wonder, what is it about the Bears that makes it so difficult for a quarterback to throw downfield? The Bears have never had a competent downfield passing game. Even with Jay Cutler, it was almost Jay Cutler saying, you know what? I don't even care. It was Jay Cutler saying, I'm throwing it regardless. Oh, I threw 28 picks? I don't care. I'm going to throw it again. And it was Jay Cutler battling against every single person who was his offensive coordinator. It was literally that. The Bears have never really had a great passing game. Literally. I guess you could say we had it for a couple of weeks when it was Alshon, Brandon, and who was the backup quarterback who came in?
Haney?
No. When Jay was injured, it was
McCown.
McCown. Outside of what, those 4 or 5 weeks? I don't know how long he was playing. Those 4 or 5 weeks where he just looked like a world beater. The Bears have not really had a competent downfield passing game. It has always been a struggle. It has always been a struggle. Even in Mr. Biscay's 6 touchdown games, about 3 of them were, you know what? Toss it there now. This is considered a catch. You get a touchdown.
Right.
What is it about the Bears? Is McCaskey coming to practice and say, I don't want any downfield passes. This is trench warfare. We're going to get
it. We had sweetness. I seen it work. Run the ball.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what is it about the Bears that we can't just throw the ball? I don't understand the concept. I mean, I've seen so many changes. I saw the Cubs win. I'm talking about, that's a 100-year curse that they ended. I saw the Buckeyes stop being, you know what, we can't beat anybody outside the Big Ten and win in 2015. I've seen all of those things happen. What is it about the Bears that they can't pass downfield? And I think Justin has the tools. And if this was another competent coach, I think Justin would be fine.
Now, here's a question. Because Mike, you brought this up a little bit too. Do y'all think is they don't think he can do it? Because, like, I'm trying to make logical sense of this. Because it, like, we need to figure that you have to have an answer on this dude sometime this year. And I honestly don't think it's going to take all season for you to get this answer. I think we're going to know very quickly. Like, I think, and this is probably, like, giving more weeks than probably needed. But Halloween, you're going to know who this guy is. And I just feel like they just need to sling it. Mike, how many times have me, you, Dante said, he need to be throwing that ball almost 30 times a game. Like, you need to see 100% without a doubt who this dude is. Like, and that's where I'm kind of, like, conflicted at. I don't know if it's they know that he's not good at certain things, so they're not going to put him in harm's way, which is still stupid to me because it's like, we need to know. Or is it just for whatever reason, they're just calling stupid plays? Because I can't take more of these bubble screens. I just can't. Like, I can't do it. Like, you have all these wide receivers. You traded everything to get DJ Moore. You know what I'm saying? You went out there and gave up picks to get Chase Claypool. We know how good Darnell Mooney is. Like, you need to be throwing downfield. Like, it's just insane to me. And I've watched the Bears long enough to where that I don't think it's just going to change next week. Like, I would be shocked if they just ditched this whole thing they did this week.
Oh, they're going to be ass. The Bears are loser.
Like, and like you said, it's look in the mirror time. If they lose to next week, this is going to be – you're going to have two picks in the top 10. Like, it's going to be that type of thing.
They lose next week. Ryan Poles is going to have to do some speaking as to are there going to be changes to your coaching staff. Maybe not at the head coach level, but like you said, Joe – start with the DC. There's got to be a sacrificial lamb. You got to start sending a message through that, you know, through Hallis Hall. But I don't think they have. I think with Justin Fields, Ryan Poles has the ace in his sleeve with potentially, you know, they are two first round picks, but they might be, the way it's looking, they might be two top 10 picks, right? So he is going to let it ride, whatever. He's going to give Justin Fields as much opportunity this season, and we're going to see it. Justin Fields deserves to get all 17 games, and we make our case from there. At the end of the day, the only decision that needs to be made this season on Justin Fields is, are you picking up that fifth-year option or not?
Yep.
Fuck giving him a big extension or thinking he's going to get paid. If you were looking at Justin Fields right now, right, just – y'all, I'm going to ask y'all. Y'all see what we see.
No, hell no.
Right, you're not giving him the fifth?
Yeah, if I had to choose today, no, I'm not.
No,
you're not giving him a fifth. You're not franchising him. You're not getting him an extension. He doesn't pass any of that, you know. So
go play in the CFL.
It's plain and simple. We can see it right there. So I think he's going to let it play out as much as he can. I agree, though. They need to open up the fucking playbook and they need to do something and let him go swinging. You might find something.
This may be the playbook. There'd be nothing else to open up.
That's
this,
true.
This may be the point.
That's a scary but accurate point.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That literally may be the case. It may be that the playbook is not deep and we want him to open up. I think we're thinking the playbook is like this. People can't see, but they can hear that I'm flipping a lot of pages. But in actuality, the playbook may be this big. But you may just go, oh, that's it. Nothing else in here.
It's a notepad. It's a notepad instead of a notebook. Right?
It's a folder that has one sheet in it. Versus an actual book. And that's what we have to understand. Open the playbook. This may be it. This may be it. And that is my biggest fear. So, it is what it is.
I think, like, you know, to kind of, like, you know, wrap it up a little bit. So, let's have a little positive talking. I don't want this to be all doom and gloom. What are things that they should, like, that I think realistically we'll hope that they would change for next week to be able to win? Like you said, like, they're going up against a really good offensive line and defensive line who showed no pressure today. They're going to be going up against Baker Mayfield, who does not care. And on top of him not caring, he still has great wide receivers. He has Mike Evans. He has Chris Godwin. And this secondary got worked out by Bum. This is the Green Bay Packers team without Christian Watson. You know what I'm saying? Like, you made Romeo Doubs look like Randy Moss today. Like, and the run is going to be important, too. Now, the Buccaneers don't have the best run game, but what Aaron Jones did.
They have a terrible run game.
Yeah, like, they have a terrible run game. What Aaron Jones did can be, you know, replicated across the
100%, league. 100%. Like I said, let it get 90 degrees and let it, you know, and just wear them down. And it might not do nothing in the first half, but I bet you that run game will show its head in the second half.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's very simple, Scott. What you said, what things that they could change. Let's start off first with just being more disciplined. Let's just be more disciplined. Penalties.
Oh, goodness. Back-to-back both starts?
From the opening kickoff, there was a 15-yard penalty. Let's start there. Let's baby steps. You know what I'm saying? You got to crawl before you can walk. Let's start with being more disciplined. Let's start with being, you know, with the timing. Let's have a good week of practice. Let's have a good week of practice where everybody, you know, get the cadence down. And then you got to go from there. And then it falls on Luke Getsy. How can we get DJ Moore more involved. There's no reason he should only have two targets. How can we get our playmakers more involved and not in the screen game? That slant to DJ Moore worked. That was the last time we saw it. That was literally the last time they attempted it. Everything else went back to east and west. What happened to going north down the middle of the field? So it's going to start with discipline. It's going to, and clearing up those penalties. Because last year, I did think, for being a 3-win team, they were a very disciplined team. And I had gave Eberflus a lot of credit. They played hard from him, and they were, they really were sound there when it came to that. They didn't have as many stupid penalties like they did today. So it's going to start there, and then it's going to come with, the offensive coaches, Andrew Janoku, Luke Getsy, Eberflus, everybody. How can we open up this passing game? Because without that passing game, it's going to be the same shit. It's going to be a long year.
Joe, what do you think?
So, realistically, what can they do? They're not going to blitz. I've given up hope. Justin Jones and Andrew Billings suck.
Justin Jones is garbage. He talks too much shit to be as weak as he is.
They both suck. I would rather throw out Pickens or Dexter, honestly. I would rather throw both of them out there and keep it going. I don't mind Yannick and Galway. I don't mind DeMarcus Walker. I think they're fine. They're not stars, but I think they're fine. That interior is terrible. What can I expect? I expect to see some shifting on the interior line. That's probably about it when it comes to defense. I'm expecting maybe Allen Williams improves his play calling. I've seen Luke Getsy adapt, even if it was very small. So I do expect the play calling to improve a little more. I don't expect Justin to have timing throws down. I probably expect to see him have one or two good timing throws. In the NFL, not every player is a timing throw. It's not really how it goes. But there are always placement throws. I expect Justin to throw more placement throws. You got 200 yards, but you barely got it. And the funny thing is, you had like 100 yards after the first quarter. After the first quarter, you were throwing it. Then it was like, yeah, you know what? I'm done. That's a problem. I'm expecting Roshan to have a lot more carries this game. He won't be he won't be the one on the feature, but I'm expecting him to get involved in the offense more. So I don't think they're going to win. They're going to start 0-3. I think that's the reality that I think, because I saw Baker Mayfield in them against the Vikings team that's way better than the Bears, much better. And I saw them do a tremendous job against the best receiver in the league. On top of that, a stud in Jordan Addison. So the Bears are going to go on through. They're going to lose this game. The only thing that I expect to be hopeful is that maybe the offense plays best. What I think is probably going to happen is a shootout. I'm okay with a shootout loss. That just lets me know, well, there's some changes on the defense. There's changes need to have on the defense. One of the biggest things that I want to be correct on is Justin. I'm seeing the slant on Justin. It's crazy. But what am I supposed to do? Say, no, well, you ain't watching. From what you see, this is true. I just hope from what I see through training camp and practice, because the training camp, I say, wow, look at that, a timing throw. Trusting his receiver. And then when the hits come, I wonder if Justin goes, oop, I can't do that no more. You ain't getting hit in training camp. Now you're getting hit. So I'm hoping Justin just had that, ooh, okay, I'm back in the swing of things. Luke Getsy had that, okay, I'm back in the swing of things. I don't think Allen Williams good. I don't expect much change from him. But I think you will see a better showing from the offense, because I've seen Getsy do it before. He's called to play. He's like, wow, what a well put together drive.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I'm with you, John. I'm not picking him to win. Like I'm on my damn wheeler from here on out. Like I'm not being optimistic. It's like they gotta prove it. Like I think you texted me this, Joe, when I left the game. Like I gotta see it.
I texted you,
like,
fuck Justin. Done. That was what I said. But
yeah, you did. But after that,
Justin, you said, if you hear that, I was just mad, bro.
I was just mad, bro.
Oh wait.
I gotta see it from them. Like I kind of feel like I the defense. I don't believe is gonna change. I've said all offseason. The defensive line is a struggle. I said it in training camp. It's a struggle. I don't think the secondary will play as bad. I was more the plays, the scheme that Allen Williams was running more than the secondary.
Oh no, bro! When I saw Eddie Jackson get cooked on an inside release, I was like, "Are you kidding me? Are you a rookie? What is this?" And it's the thing with the end zone. If Eddie Jackson just got scrambled because the player kept running, I'd be like, you know what, man, that just sucked, but it was the end zone. There's no way around it. It's just what happens. I would be okay with that. But all Romeo Doubs did was this. Nothing special. Does. You know what? I'm going left. And he said, oop. And it's one of the biggest things that you do not do is give up the inside release when you have coverage on the outside. If you have coverage on the outside and a linebacker as solid as Tremaine Edmonds will converge. So what do? You always give up the outside. Give up the outside. You give up the outside when it's there. There's nobody there to help you on the inside. So you're not going to see your Jaquan Brisker come and help you. He's on the other side of the field. So, yeah, that shit was terrible.
It was bad. It was bad. It was bad. And, you know, and as bad as today was, I saw flashes from the defense. They were good in spurts. They were good. They were good moments. I won't take away from everything. I think I saw some good things from, I think Tremaine Edmonds looked good. He looked healthy. Darnell Mooney looked healthy. Darnell Mooney looks good. Darnell Mooney looks good. Roshan Johnson. Roshan Johnson brought the juice, and so did Dante Foreman. Dante Foreman looked good early. So there were some good things. Like we said,
Darnell Herbert. Nihal.
Right. Yeah. Nihal Herbert. Yep. So, there were some good things to build off, but this team looks like a team that hasn't won in almost a year, and they look like they're seeing ghosts, you know? Like, they look lifeless. Like, on the broadcast, you know, I know you were in the stadium, but on the broadcast, they look lifeless. They look how I felt, you know? Like, I'm just laying on the couch, and I'm like, damn, man. I had to go check on my girl. She was doing a Harry Potter marathon in the room, and I'm like, man, I might have to just rewatch this to her.
You should have watched it with her. Because Harry Potter was so much better than that.
So she knows on Sundays not to really fuck with me. So she came out to the room at one point, and she came to the kitchen to grab something, and she just peeked. She didn't even ask me what the score was. She looked at the TV, and all of her was, oh, shit. And it was like 17-6 at that point. And I'm like, yeah, we're fried. I was like, this is game right here. And it sucks that it felt like when it was 17-6, I'm like, yeah, we're not coming back because there was just nothing there.
That was a crazy thing about the game because the doom and gloom didn't hit me till like late in the game because like the thing that
Cowboys score. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this terrible. But like to me, like the
Daniel Jones stinks.
The atmosphere at Soldier Field was off the charts. Like walking into the stadium and the Green Bay sucks chants, and it was real electric in there. Like shout out to Jay Iller, he was playing a lot of Dirk. A lot of Dolph. Like I'm feeling good. I'm like, oh, we finna beat these niggas. Like I felt fake patriotic for 30 seconds when the fighter jets flew around. You know the anthem. They went super crazy on the anthem because 9/11 is tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, oh, this is gonna be. I didn't feel like they were gonna lose till the after they cut it down to 10. Remember Justin threw a touchdown to Mooney. They cut it to 10. And then Jordan Lovett marched up down the field and scored a touchdown. That's when I knew it was over. Like, I always felt like they would find a way to come back. And that's why it was different compared to other Packers losses. So, I don't know, man. I next week is a massive game. I hate to say it in week two, but next week is the season, bro. Next week is the season, in my personal opinion. I really hope the coaching staff acts like it. Whether Justin is good or he's not, I just want them to give the kid a chance, man. I just want to know for sure. If he's Huff, he's Huff. It just is what it is. He's Huff. But give him a chance for us to really see if he's Huff or not. Like, I feel like really all three of these years he's been leading, really don't matter if it was Nagy or Eberflus. It's like, I feel like the Bears are collectively scared to show us whether he's good or not. And it's like, enough. We got to know one way or the other.
100%. And it's like you said earlier, Flows, like y'all both kind of said it. It would have been better if Justin just came out ass, right? If he was just – if he was pulling up a Daniel Jones thinker right now. Because you know what this is doing? This is leaving the door open for us to consistently have that, well, but the O-line was shit. Well, but, you know, his wide receivers couldn't get open. We're just continuously making mistakes for him and just delaying the inevitable. Right now, the guys that are on the O-line, the guys who are healthy, it is what it is. I know everybody's saying we missed Tevin Jenkins. That motherfucker can't stay healthy. It is what it is. You can't miss what you don't have. You can't miss what you don't have. So you have to work with what you have. And, you know, why is Robert Tonyan not? And I understand he's a back issue. But, like, the route that they ran with Cole Kmet, who the fuck did you think he was? DJ Moore? Like what do you got him doing? Like that ball that Justin threw to him in the end zone. Like, I don't even understand that. Like, you're trying to have him run a route that clearly he's not comfortable with. So it's just like they're leaving the room for Justin, you know, he was really highly pressured and he looked good when he had time. And you know what? Not every quarterback gets time, man. It is what it is. You gotta nut up and you gotta make the throws and you gotta make some shit happen. The only thing is, and I don't discredit Justin for making plays with his legs because that's a skill set. It's a weapon. He's a fucking monster in the open field. But we've already seen that. Like, the shit don't even excite me no more. Like, I want to see it from the passing game because I know what you got back there. You know what I'm saying? It's like Zach LaVine. Like, I know you can pull up fucking free throw line and boom it on somebody. Yeah. I know you can fucking, you know, I know you can catch and shoot from three, whatever, but I need to see everything else to know that you're the complete player, to know that you're the guy worth going forward. And we're just right now, like, we're in the same spot as we were when we ended the season last year. It's just the same situation. And I really do blame preseason for everything. Preseason and practice. There were reports, you know, Scott, you would tell me like, oh, you know, I'm not seeing that. And, you know, I'm seeing he's looking good. The offense looking good. But everybody has, you know, like different sets of eyes. And at the end of the day, the tape doesn't lie. The eye in the sky will catch everything. Like how Eddie Jackson got worked in the end zone today. Playing a preseason game, getting that repetition, that's something that gets put on film and that's something that is reviewed, you know, that you can review and is coachable. Blow this team out so bad that they remember. Oh my God.
What is that? That's a crazy tweet.
Wow.
On the eve. But no, yeah, you know, it's just they're leaving the door open. Ryan Poles knows. I think Ryan Poles knows right now whether Justin is his guy or not. I think he's leaving the door open for Justin to wow him. You know, it's kind of like the Cubs this year. They were going to be sellers. They were going to be sellers, and Jed needed to see the Cubs wow him, and Cody Bellinger went on a hot streak, and they went on a crazy run. And now they're where they at right now. I think Ryan Poles is ready to be wild. If not, hey, I got two first-round picks, and let's see what we can happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna close it with this, and I've said this for.
Hold on, nigga, my turn. My turn again. Sorry, I've been dominating talking.
Yeah, I'm about to say you.
I haven't been. Time. I've been sick, as you can tell by my voice, so I haven't been talking a lot the past few days. But I want to say this: when it comes to who I have more faith in, I have faith in none of them. But if I think one is more intelligent and is inclined to say something needs to change, it is Ryan Poles. If I'm a general manager and I hire a head coach. And the head coach then helps me hire or look into the offensive coordinators and the defensive coordinators, I would say there's a problem with how you're calling the game. I want to see the quarterback throw more. And I saw it a few times. Okay, Justin throws on first down. Good, good. Let's continue it. Then I saw a few times where, you know what? At first, it's that third and one to that fourth and one. Why are we lining up like that? Why is Cole Kmet taking the ball and doing a quarterback sneak? It's just, it doesn't make sense for you to do a play like that when tight ends don't normally line up under center. That's not what they do. That's what a quarterback does. If you would have lost, not gained that from two quarterback sneaks back to back, I'm like, well, they gave you the best shot. Because sometimes the niggas just beat you up front. And I'm cool with that. It's like with the Seahawks and the Patriots. If Marshawn Lynch didn't punch it up, I'm like, well, nigga, oh, well. I wouldn't say, oh, you should have thrown it. I would have said they did the smartest play. It just didn't work. I want to be able to say that when it comes to the Bears. They did the smartest play, but it just didn't work. Now you need to be able to do the same thing with Justin. Give him a chance to wow you. The Cubs are a perfect example of that. Give them a chance to wow you. And so with Justin, I'm glad that he threw as many times as he did. He threw, 37 times today? He completed 20.
What, he did?
37 times today.
Yeah, what was he, 24, 37? Not to cut you off, Flos, but to your point right there, this is how fucked up the play calling was today. Third and one, they run a direct snap to Cole Kmet. Then they go back and they try to sneak Justin. When you have a weapon like that with Justin's legs, you go with him on third and one, right? Yeah. They're down 24 points in the fourth quarter with like 6 minutes left. And one of the very first fucking plays that they call after receiving the ball was a design QB draw run for Justin. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Where was that in the first quarter with 13 minutes, you know? Like, it's just, it's ass backwards.
Yeah, I agree. It's funny. I'm looking at this play. I think Justin had his longest run of the night like he spent on Jair Alexander. And I'm admiring what the Packers are doing because in this specific instance, they rush five, but they rush three immediately. They have a delayed rusher coming from the linebacker position, and they have Jair Alexander coming from a quarterback position. That's an ingenious blitz. It's ingenious. It's perfect. You don't have to just send everybody, you know what? Okay, we're going to blitz. We're going to send four. Then we're going to have Tremaine Edmonds come up the A gap or the B gap. No. Spice it up a little bit. Overload a side. I used to see that with the Packers back in like 2011. They would put 30 people on one tackle and say, you better find a way to block us. And like, it was hilarious. I would see four people on the tackle, and it'd be one person on the B gap and the C gap on the other side of the line. And they would just overload. And it worked. And so when it comes to the Bears, you don't always have to do everything by how you have it in the playbook. You have a playbook that you have to adjust in the end game. My only hope is that this is the rust they should have shaken off in preseason. This is the rust they should have shaken off in preseason. And if they shake it off, I still think there's plenty of talent offensively to do better. Offensively, I think this team can score 24-plus points a game. I do think that. Defensively, it's not going to get much better. I'm just telling you. Unless Gervon Dex or Zach Pickens are those guys, it's not going to get much better. That's just my only thoughts.
Yeah, I'll close out this with a couple points. One, I've said since the Ryan Pace fiasco, which I was off on Ryan Pace years before he got fired. Years. I was when he traded Brandon Marshall, I was like, I'm done with this dude. Like, it was early, bro. It was really honestly wasn't even rational. I was just a big Brandon Marshall fan, but then just seeing stuff he was doing. By the way, Brandon Marshall was at the game today too, which kind of shocked me. But stop crowning GMs. Stop crowning GMs until we see it on the field. Like the King Poles memes and stuff that Bears King fans King Poles like
does
to do.
It again.
Stop it. Stop it. He's the nigga that hired this coaching staff. Everybody who he almost everybody he drafted and signed were terrible today. Almost everyone. There was a couple who was okay. For the most part, was not good. He's got to improve. Like, there has to be a –
this is when Nate Davis was getting beat up. Oh, my God, I'm watching it.
Like,
and Braxton Jones is so light in his ass. Like,
oh, my God.
He's not the left tackle of the future. No.
I said that last year.
Me and Joe said that last year.
No, nigga, I said that.
No, I said it too. I was never a Braxton Jones guy.
Last year, I was like, this nigga sucks. And yeah, people were like, no, just give it another chance. I'm like, why? He stinks.
Y'all like him because he got glasses.
And how can I see with Darnell Wright? And I'm like, okay, there's something there with Darnell Wright. Okay. Like, literally, when I'm watching that play with Jair Alexander blitzed, Cole Kmet chips on the end, which is cool. Then your next thing should be, can I see who's around me? Darnell Wright realizes that. How do you realize that, but your second year tackle doesn't? Most of this line is going to have to be replaced.
Darnell Wright will be the only one that'll stay.
Literally.
He did it. I think he got beat once. Where Justin took a big hit, but then it didn't even matter. It was like a sack, but there was like a defensive holding in the backfield. So it was like, it was a dead play, but he's going to grade out. I'm pretty sure when PFF does their shit, he's going to grade out as their highest offensive lineman in his first career start in what was, you know, not a hostile environment, but it was a big stakes game. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously they were coming after him the middle of the offensive line is so fucking weak, and it was last year, and it continued to be an issue.
Yeah.
I think they need to make, like you said, they have to treat this like it's the season of the line. Like you said, Joe, like I want Poles to talk. I want them to be Eberflus got to scream on some dudes, man. Like, there's no way you can go into there with that game plan next week. You just can't do it. And you need to make drastic changes. Like, Joe, you said you feel like Roshan's going to be feature more. I need him to be number one. I'm sorry.
I want him and Dante Foreman to be one and two for the rest of the season.
Yeah,
I've watched Khalil Herbert enough. That's enough.
Yeah, I'm done with Khalil Herbert. Like, and we said this last year. I mean, we've been saying this for years.
Oh, like, he ain't a feature back.
He's not a feature back. We've been saying this for a long time. And that was painfully obvious that the only drive where they had juice was when they had Roshan in. You need to start Roshan. You need to I have no problem with the check downs and the quick passes, but you got to take some shots. I need to see a full, you know, different spin on it next week. We can't be running the same stuff. They run the same stuff that they played tonight. They're going to get blown out again. It's just that simple. And like you said, Joe, I don't think the defense is going to get much better. It's just how the scheme is. I think Allen Williams is terrible. I need a whole – this needs to be a different team next week. Am I confident that's going to be the case? Absolutely not. I think it's going to be the same thing until I see otherwise. But if they are serious about winning games this year, it needs to be a completely different game plan next week. You need to come out, need to punch Tampa Bay in the mouth right away. Like you said, Mikey, you can bounce back from 1-1. 0-2, heading to Arrowhead.
You're not doing nothing to Arrowhead.
The matter, the point of the question
Half for Arrowhead. Spit on it and put it in, brother. Just get ready. That's all I'm telling you.
The question for Arrowhead is, can they keep them from scoring 50 points? That's the question. It's not about them winning. No. They're not going to win. Can you keep them from scoring 50 points? So
I know they're going to have Charlton Davis on DJ Moore, and he's a good corner. I mean, but Justin Jefferson Justin Jefferson's had another beast. He Justin went crazy. But yeah. You know what? I need 10 fucking targets to DJ Moore in the first half.
Man,
That's how you set the tone.
You got your security blanket for a reason. Launch it to him. Even when Justin got hit and threw it to DJ Moore in the corner of the end zone for the 2-point try.
He still caught that ball.
That ball was tipped and he still caught it. He's incredible. He literally use him as your blanket. It's like, okay.
If he doesn't catch it, he's gonna draw a PI.
Exactly. It's like, I don't trust the rest of these receivers yet. But you know what? DJ's there. Because what funny thing is, the more I'm just starting to look at some plays from that game, they're doubling DJ a lot this game. On that slant he caught, he was doubled.
Which they're going to do all season.
And they're basically saying, you know what? You're going to have to throw to Claypool and Mooney. You're going to have to throw to Claypool and Mooney. And if that's the case, give it to Moon. Moon is
I've been pro Claypool, but...
That nigga stinks.
He brings nothing. He doesn't want to block. He's got fucking hands of stone. He looks like he doesn't know where he wants to be. He wants to pout. What's the purpose, bro?
And hey, that's crazy because he had a great camp. That's the wildest thing. He had a great camp. He was almost like MVP of camp. That's how good he was at camp. But I was just – and then how you get hurt when you wasn't doing nothing? No, that's what blew me too. He went to the tent twice. I was like, you're not even doing anything.
Fun stat, Justin Fields averaged a career low 4.1 air yards per attempt. He was 2 of 5 with a TD and a pick six on passes of 10 plus air yards. He also was pressured on 42% of his dropbacks. So all this tells me is, okay, you were 50-50 on them balls past 10 yards. Keep throwing. You gotta get that out. I'd rather a quarterback stat line be Jay Cutler's in his first year or the year that Jameis threw 30 touchdowns, 30 picks, then be 15-7. He threw a little bit. No, I want to see you do the most and the worst. Sorry. I'm still pissed, man. Clearly.
That's
no, all yeah. Right. I'm getting more pissed talking. But it is as if they want Justin Fields to be perfect without allowing him to go through the growing pains. You got to sling that bitch.
That's what it come down to, man. Is there anything y'all want to say before we get up out of here and wrap this up?
The Steelers fucked up. Yeah, the Steelers fucked up the parlay, man. We would have cashed, but that Aaron Jones anytime TD.
Aaron Jones hit.
That's 10 touchdowns in 12 games.
Definitely. Yeah, man, that's all we got for y'all today. If you're listening to this here on Sunday night, I'm not going to hold you. We'll be on tomorrow. If you're listening to this on Monday, I'm not going to hold you. We'll be on tonight live on the Barbershed Network at 6 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be heading up until right before kickoff of Monday Night Football between the Jets and the Buffalo Bills with me, Mikey, Dante, Courtney. We'll be going over all the week one stuff. We'll be getting Dante's takes on the Bears game. Of course, we'll still be talking about that too in the local hour. So this is the first week we'll be doing two shows. We'll be doing two shows throughout the NFL season on Mondays and Fridays. Once the NFL season's over, we'll be doing once a week because I'm not talking basketball twice a week. So we'll be doing that, man. So you know to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershed Scott. You know where to follow Flows at Flows and Alini. You know where to follow Mikey at Junior_Solito on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram at Barbershed Net. Subscribe to Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershed Network. The next game we'll go to will be the week 3 game because I will not be spending the weekend in Tampa, Florida. So we'll be back with doing those games and that. So we'll see. Season might be over this time next week. We don't know. We're going to look to see how that goes, man. So not the best way to start this
season. Nigga, end the show.
I'm honestly pissed off. Where this nigga go? So I'm gonna play the music. We up out of here. 7 nights at Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for